Hey, do you want to be like me and make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free. No catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you. Hey, everybody, welcome to Pretty Scary!
Pretty Scary Boo!
Caitlin, say something! Wow.
I know.
Wow. That was more awkward than I thought it was going to be.
It was chilling.
I at least thought she would say, I'm not going to say anything.
Right, I drove up here. I drove an hour to come.
Yeah.
Sit here silently at this podcast. I'm just letting you know, I wish to invoke my Fifth Amendment right. Right, not to speak.
And this, of all episodes, is a good one for her to invoke her Fifth Amendment.
She likes frozen peaches.
She likes frozen peaches. We know she likes wine.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know where Caitlin was when all of this was happening.
I would agree.
So it's good that Caitlin's not talking this episode.
Yeah, she's probably just reading and absorbing.
Probably reading, absorbing, planning her defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, possibly. That's possible. But I'm here. I'm Adam Todd Brown. Are you?
I'm Carrie Martin.
We're your hosts, and we're talking about grape crimes. This is interesting as shit. How did you find this, Carrie?
Somebody added us on Twitter. Ah, damn it. I don't have my phone.
It's fine.
Okay. But somebody on Twitter had went down some hobgoblin grapes rabbit hole and found out that this is more than just a fall grape. There's a whole murder mystery behind it. And so I reached out to you and said, hey, let's talk crazy fruit crimes on this next episode. Katie Tronis on Twitter.
Yeah, what happened is Katie Tronis on Twitter at, is it just at Tronis? That makes sense.
At K Tronis.
At K Tronis, Chironis. She had been seeing all of these grapes around Los Angeles, and they have a really interesting label called mm-hmm. Hobgoblin Grapes, and she got to Googling them.
It says sweet, flavorful, crispy, and an evil-looking goblin is holding these grapes, and so she was like, oh, let me try some. They look delicious and sweet, and they were.
They were.
And then she started Googling them, like, oh, where did they come from? And
oh boy,
yeah,
it is quite a tale. So that's the source of this episode is she's not the one who tweeted it at us.
No, somebody tweeted us her story. So then I private messaged her and said, hey, would you like to be on our podcast? And she was like, no, I'll be in Vegas. And I was like, that sounds like there's a period at the end of that and not a, hey, could we maybe do another time.
Right.
Which is a very nice way of saying, no, I do not want to be on your podcast.
Yeah, no, I will never be on your podcast.
So I was like, oh, like we ended up pushing it back a weekend. Maybe I should message her again. But then I was like, no, something tells me that was a polite way of declining, which is completely fine.
Who was it? Should we call her out?
Oh, no. I reached out to Katie Tronis to be on our podcast.
Oh, okay. Oh, she said no?
Yes.
What the fuck? What other true crime podcasts are reaching out? I'm legit interested in this.
Well, she went to her Twitter. We have like 300 followers. So maybe that was a deterrent considering she's got a lot more. And I think she's like acclaimed and wrote a book.
Well, she could have gone to my Twitter.
Right.
Right? Do some research, Katie.
Fair.
This could be good pub for you.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we're going to censor your name. It's still going to be good pub for you. God damn it. We're losing. All right. So what did Katie tweet? This is fucking fascinating.
Oh, I didn't include her tweet in the content.
Well, the story. She tweeted a whole story.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, we're not going to read her tweets verbatim, but so, let's tell this story.
I call this the Grapes of Hobgoblin Wrath.
Yes.
Because it kind of was around the same place as John Steinbeck's like central California.
I knew that. Yeah, I knew that before you told me just now.
Good. So could you please spell Hobgoblin Grapes?
H-O-B. Wait,
hold on.
Can you use hobgoblin grapes in a sentence?
Yeah. Hobgoblin grapes are a fall harvest grape that come out of Pretty Lady Vineyards on Dulcich Farms in Delano, California.
Definition, please.
Dulcich Farms are also known for their Pretty Lady brand of grapes.
That was not a definition of hobgoblin grapes, but I'm going to go anyway. H-O-B-G-O-B-L-I-N space G-R-A-P-E-S. Thank you.
Nailed it.
What do I win? Finger me.
Yep, you win a finger. And in completely unrelated news, I wanted to reveal our new business plan. Adam and I are about to open up a Chicago Bears-inspired gastropub in Southern California that specializes in pork tenderloin sandwiches called West Coast Loins.
Pork tenderloin sandwiches are impossible to find outside the Midwest, and it's maddening.
Because all you need is a pork chop and a tenderizer, correct?
It's a chicken sandwich made with pork, and you just tenderize the pork a little. That's the only thing.
So good.
And they're so good.
So good.
And they're nowhere, nowhere in Los Angeles.
Until we open up our gastropub.
West Coast Loins, yes.
Possible slogans include, but are not limited to, is that a West Coast Loin in the Chicago Bears-themed sports bar, or are you happy to see me?
Are there any other, because I would just sign off on that one.
We do it for the Nookie and for the West Coast Loins.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
A shout out to $3 Pod.
$3 Pod, y'all, yes.
And of course, our annual Night of 1,000 Lesbians and Loins, so that we can celebrate both male and female patrons while literally ostracizing no one. If you can scroll down.
Oh, sorry.
We will also be over capacity on this night and breaking all of the fire codes. So come get your West Coast Loin before they sell out and our restaurant burns to the ground.
Those are all good. We could do like a circulating promotional campaign that like mm-hmm. phases each one in depending on the time of year.
If you guys have any good slogans, you could add Pretty Scary Boo.
At Pretty Scary Boo, let us know good slogans for our pork tenderloin restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
bar.
And also, if you've never had a pork tenderloin sandwich,
shame on you.
Fix that.
Oh, immediately.
Go have one.
Even if you have to fly to nowhere, Iowa.
Yeah, go anywhere in the Midwest, you'll find one.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my God, they're so good. So, let's talk about grapes.
Okay, so, this story.
You know what this story is? It's grape.
The title of the article I read was called "The Man Who Had Faced Murder Charge and Death of Delano Grape Grower, Jackoff Dulcich."
Jackoff.
See, I feel like I'm saying it wrong.
It's probably Yakoff.
Oh, yep, one of those J's. I think it's an American Jacob.
Probably.
Okay. Found dead Monday with traumatic injuries. This was by Jason Katowski. From Bakersfield.com on December 4th, 2018. Now, Jacob was an 80-year-old co-owner. I think it was Dulcich and Sons Farms in Delano. 80 years old to get murdered. That's infuriating. Like, why?
Yeah, it's an Alanis Morissette song.
Isn't it ironic?
Yeah.
Okay. So his article goes, a Delano man who had faced a murder charge in the death of Delano grape grower Jacob Dulcich was found dead Monday with traumatic injuries. The coroner's office said that Mariano Fernandez Perez, 24, was found dead around 7 a.m. on Wallace Avenue south of Highway 155.
So those are two different people.
Yes. So we're going to get to the story. So the person they suspected of killing 8-year-old Jacob was 24-year-old Perez.
Right.
Then they found him dead. Now, granted, this murder happened April 11th, 2018.
Yes.
Literally a year and a half ago. Like, it's still pretty fresh.
Yeah.
And within the year, in December, the number one suspect...
Also found murdered,
correct.
I have a very strong feelings about what's happening.
Okay.
Here.
Well, let's get into it. Okay. So the Kern County Public Defender's Office confirmed Perez is the same person it represented in the slaying of 84-year-old Dulcich. I thought he was 80. He's 84. Again, what's the point? It's so weird to me when people kill old people.
Yeah.
Like, what are you... It's got to be some sort of revenge.
Or money. Think. Like, at that age, like, you've made most of the money you're going to make in your life.
But how would somebody... And we'll talk about theories at the end, but not related to him and in the will. It wasn't a robbery. How would the stranger come? Like, what would Perez's motive be unless it was maybe somebody in the family, like a murderer for hire?
Or somebody else in the wine growing business.
I didn't even think about that.
Because he was a wine, like he made wine or he grew grapes for wine or whatever the fuck you do. And one of the kind of underrated impacts of the Trump presidency has been tariffs and hard times for farmers. And you get the right kind of farmer whose business has been impacted. Maybe he's the kind of farmer that's fine with taking out his competition in this way. Or a thing you see with avocados is there are like... Most of the good avocados come from Mexico. And a lot of the people who grow those avocados in Mexico also have to pay protection money to cartels who have realized that because of tariffs, avocado prices, and just the money people are making on avocados is such that it's worth it to go to those people and say, if you don't give us 10% of your business, we'll murder you.
Like the Mennonite mafia?
What's that?
Oh, I might have not said it correctly.
Correctly.
Is it Mennonite Amish? Is that a Amish sect?
I think it's something like that.
There was something, I swear it's Mennonite Mafia, that I guess has a lot of roots in Mexico as well.
Oh, it could be.
As well as like the Midwest and the South. And they were the same way that they expected a certain percentage of... I can't remember whatever they were selling. And when they didn't get that, people ended up swimming with the fishes.
Yeah. And that could be because this wasn't a robbery.
Well, here's the other thing. So Dulcich, so apparently he had been farming grapes since 1960. So a substantial amount of time, almost 80 years. He was Croatian. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, like a Croatian mafia.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, after being in business that long, like, the only thing that could be is maybe he'd been paying protection money to someone and decided to stop because things aren't as good as they used to be. And he's 84 years old. And he's like, fucking kill me. And they were like, all right.
Well, no. So we're going to get to the story because you're wrong. Perez's murder trial ended in a hung jury, the DA dismissed it in November pending further investigation.
Right. And Perez is the guy who killed him.
Well, that's the guy that they thought killed him. And I'm going to get into the body of the content now. So with the death of Perez, one of his public defenders, Lexi Blythe, said, I'm absolutely devastated. Mr. Perez was an amazing person, and I'm devastated he's lost his life now. And in parentheses, a cue the foreshadowing.
Right.
The last time she saw Perez was November 5th. of 2018 when the charges were dismissed. She said he was quite happy to be released.
Imagine.
Which I assume is anybody who has ever been released from confinement's reaction after spending just months. Are you kidding? The people who are, should really be happy are the people who are exonerated after 20 plus years.
You ever been to jail?
No, and don't curse me.
I spent a weekend in Peoria County Jail.
I know, that's what you said. It was for like a DUI.
Okay, come on, no. It's just for traffic stuff. I didn't go to court for a traffic thing I had. DUI was much later.
I hope that... Did anybody say, like, why are you in here?
Yeah, it was weird.
Did you lie?
Because I was... No.
You can't say traffic ticket.
No, I did. I said I missed a court date, and that seemed...
Sufficient?
Sufficiently murky.
Okay.
To where that other person could have been like, ooh, a court date for what?
Right. I can't talk, bro.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Why are you asking?
Yeah.
You a cop?
Assume you bro out in prison.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of have to. You don't like, it wasn't prison, but.
Or jail. Are you all in one cell?
No. When I got put in, like into the actual unit I was in, there was a guy, like it was like 2 a.m. and there was a guy just sitting outside his cell yelling into the void. And I had to like walk over him. And it turned out he had like some mental issue where he couldn't be locked in his cell at night. So that was a fun introduction.
Why didn't you like, say that?
It's like walk over the crazy person and go to your cell. Like, because you're
he's
in
jail.
Too
crazy to lock up at night?
Like you're in jail. I would have got hit with a billy club if I said anything. So I walk over him and I get in my cell and I go to sleep for the night. And I was there for the weekend. And like the shower there, to keep it running longer, there was a half a broomstick in the shower that you could jam up underneath the mechanism that kept the shower running. Right. And it's like,
if you're just there for the weekend, I'm not, do you need to take a shower?
Well, I'm not getting in a shower that has a fucking ready-made broomstick in it in a fucking jail point. Shower. I was like, yeah,
I'll just keep this mechanism open.
Yeah, I was like,
that mechanism is your butthole.
I'll be out Monday. It's fine.
Right.
I just won't shower.
A couple days of stink.
Until then.
Never killed anybody.
It's tense.
So when you go to the bathroom, can you see or hear each other?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you hold it in like Menace to Society and come out with stomach pains?
But during the day, they open your cell up. And there's like a common area that you can all go hang out. So you have to shit, you just go back to your cell and do it there. Mm. And hopefully no one comes in to watch and or rape.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there were people who had been in there a couple of years.
Really?
Yeah, it's like...
Because that's where you're held until your court date. So the people who are there longer are probably being held for murder.
Right.
Ugh, yikes.
Yeah, it was good times.
Traffic.
For traffic. Yeah, I missed a court date.
Ugh. That's crazy.
Anyway.
His public defender, Blythe, said she was happy as well that he was released. And she said he was in custody for something he didn't do. Blythe argued at the trial that there was no evidence Prez was the gunman in the killing of Dulcich near the intersection of Willomis Avenue and South Browning Road. There was no DNA evidence. The weapon was never recovered. And a witness to the shooting who struggled with the gunman before escaping testified Prez was not the shooter, she told the jury. Now,
well, that part's weird.
I think it's weird, too, because.
But they also think there were maybe two people there, right?
They thought there possibly could have been two people. This article doesn't really get into that. But you would think that with eyewitness testimony, that'd help exonerate the defendant. But if he is dead, then maybe he knew too much. And while not the shooter, maybe somehow else involved with the murder.
See, that's what I think happened is there were two people there. Maybe he didn't do the shooting, but he's the one who ended up getting publicly identified. Because we haven't got into it yet, but he does try to eliminate this witness.
Correct. And you're right. Actually, later on in the article, it does say, I just did the notes this morning. Like, I don't even know how I forgot, but you're right. There was a driver and then a passenger who was the shooter.
Right.
Okay. Prosecutor Ken Russell told jurors the defendant lived down the street from where the killing occurred and had the opportunity to carry it out. And at one point, the witness identified Prez as a shooter. So now they're saying he was identified.
Yeah, that's weird.
Another person was in the suspect vehicle with Perez, but that person had not been identified.
Okay, so even if he initially identified Perez as the shooter and then got on the stand and said it wasn't him, he was probably intimidated,
I think,
in
there's
some manner.
Some recantation, and it talks a little bit about that later on in the article. So the jury deadlocked 11-1 with a majority voting not guilty. And I think that's just due to lack of evidence and possibly the one eyewitness that was still alive waffling on whether he could identify or not identify Perez. A witness to Dulcich's killing told investigators he was traveling on Browning Road the morning of April 11th when he saw an SUV and a car traveling south on Browning trying to hit each other. The witness pulled over and the SUV careened into his
PT Cruiser.
Purchasing that car may be the only mistake that the innocent third party made.
It's a dorky car.
I mean, why? When I used to work at Enterprise, we would sell those as, like, when they were first out, they were a huge commodity. Like, we could get $300 a day for them.
What?
Because nobody really knew what they were. They kind of looked like a gangster car, but they had, like, four cylinders.
Yeah.
I mean, people learned real quick that they weren't. Then they were irate with us. But yeah, back in the day when they were new, it was
they were hot for a minute.
Yeah, they were hot for a minute. Not hot in 2018 when this murder happened, however. The car stopped at the crash scene and a passenger got out and opened fire on Dulcich, the SUV's driver, the witness said in court documents. The shooter then said, "Let me go kill this guy too," and chased the witness. To which I say 100% I'm shitting my pants in that moment. Also, with the unhealthy lifestyle I've led, the shooter is 100% catching up to me, and I am now a ghost host on this podcast.
Yeah, but also, if you're being chased and his gun isn't working, you kind of have an advantage because he just needs to be fast enough to get close enough for you to turn around and punch him in the face.
But he can also pistol whip you.
If he's running full speed, that punch is going to have some impact. Because this witness gets away.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, running was the smart move. And, yeah, I feel like when he says the shooter got out and said, "Let me get this guy, too," I feel like that's the prosecutors trying to pin the shooting on this guy when he might have actually just been a passenger. Because I feel like...
Well, who would have heard that? It seems very explicit.
Yeah, I mean...
To hear that phrase. It's very kind of like something you'd see in a movie.
Yeah, but all the guy who got out said was, "Let me get this guy too." He didn't say, "I'm the passenger, let me get out and get this guy too."
Right.
So we don't really know if that was the shooter or not who said that. And I feel like maybe the driver was the initial shooter, and then this guy was the other shooter who just...
Seems like a lot of work. Like, if you're the passenger in a car, so you don't have to drive or shoot, like, how lazy are you? Like, do one or the other.
Yeah, that's true.
Or maybe his name was Jesus Perez, and he took the wheel.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yep.
Yeah, it could be. It's my favorite Carrie Underwood song. Jesus, take the wheel. Good song.
Give me just one more chance. I've got this on my own. Or you've got this on your own.
Yeah, and then the next line is about killing a grape farm owner, I believe.
Very popular. It shot her career to stardom.
Right to the top of the charts. Hey, what happened next?
The car stopped at the crash scene and a passenger got out and opened fire and... Oh, wait, I already read that.
What are you doing, Carrie?
You didn't scroll down. The shooter pointed a gun at the witness at point blank range and pulled the trigger, but it didn't fire. That would have been scary.
That also does kind of point to whoever shot at him was probably the original shooter, because your gun doesn't usually jam the first time you shoot it.
Right.
You've usually shot it a couple times and then it jams.
Well, what crazy luck is that? Like, I doubt there's...
That's insane.
Crime in Delano. So to think, like, "Oh, I'm just running down to get a pack of smokes or to go to the grocery store. I'm now driving back on this 2-lane highway."
Yeah.
I'm super close. I can see my farm from here. I'm so close to being home. And then this happens. You get essentially pushed off the road. You see a murder and then they point the gun on you. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he pulled the trigger. It did not fire. The two fought, and the witness grabbed the front of the shooter's sweater and pulled it over his head. Three Stooges style, as I would expect any PT Cruiser owner to do.
That is brilliant, though. Because if someone has just fired a gun at you, you don't have any other weapon, you know you need to run, what can you do to disorient this person a little bit?
Zigzag like a crocodile.
Pull their fucking sweater over their head. Maybe give them a knee to the face after you do that.
Well, they say, or the junk, which is debilitating for guys.
But you ever been punched in your, like, directly in your nose?
I thought you were going to say my nuts. Recently.
Like directly in your nose?
No.
Very disorienting.
Well, I'm sure it is. It throws off your equilibrium. That's what you're supposed to do with a shark as well.
Yeah.
You poke him in the eyes or you punch him in the nose.
Pull its sweater over its head.
Pull its fin.
And then knee it in the snout.
He then poked the shooter in the eyes and bopped him on the head and then ran south on Browning. And the shooter returned to the car and sped off.
Hell yeah.
Later, authorities were notified that a vehicle similar to the description of the suspect vehicle was found burning near the county line. The car, which was a 2009 Kia Rio, what the actual fuck is going on with these car making
Kia
models?
Kia Rio?
Was determined to be registered to Prez's mother, which I would think would be strong evidence.
You would think that would play into the court's decision.
Circumstantial evidence. I don't know. I would think so. And speaking with investigators, the witness said Prez was the person who most looked like the shooter. And that's where I think the prosecution and the defense took it upon themselves to decide maybe what that meant out of several photographs that he was
showing. They were probably like being performatively woke and didn't want to be like, yeah, that's definitely him. It's like, what if it's not? Now I seem racist because I think all Hispanic people look alike.
Maybe.
PC culture. Out of control.
I wonder how close Delano is to Gilroy, because Gilroy, amazing garlic.
That's mostly what we know Gilroy for right now.
That and the recent garlic festival shooting.
Why at the garlic festival? It's Gilroy's like one thing. Place.
Yeah.
God, and garlic is so good.
It really is. But at trial, the witness testified the shooter had no tattoos and was shorter than him. Prez had numerous tattoos, some representing his gang affiliation, which is a callback to his DA suggesting that Prez was an awesome person.
Right.
And was roughly the same height as the witness.
See, that's the thing. The fact that the witness fought back, it picture, like for me, I picture like a fucking Jeff May type who, like, you fired a gun, it didn't go off, and now you realize, okay, well, I'm like 6'4 and you're like 5'8. And I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, like the idea that this guy fired a gun and the witness still was able to overpower him as opposed to shitting his pants does point to whoever pointed that gun was very short.
Right.
Like
he wasn't intimidated.
He was a little person who, absent that gun, did not intimidate the person driving that car.
Any person that drives a PT Cruiser or a Kia Rio, they are not known for their leg room.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I know.
The PT Cruiser, yeah. So maybe not. But still, it like if this guy's like I'm like 5'9", 5'10", when I was on Tinder. Mm-hmm. Like if some 5'4" dude pointed a gun at me and pulled the trigger and it didn't go off, we're fighting.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you've lost your only advantage in that point, and we're going to fight after that.
I feel like
I'm going to pull your sweater over your head and run into the adjoining field.
Or at a restaurant, you would pull their Chicago Bears jersey over
if
their
I was
head.
At Tin Horn Flats, sure. Shout out to that place.
Or West Coast Loins.
West Coast Loins. Use code UNPOPS at checkout to get 15% off your first tenderloin sandwich
20%
purchase.
Off your first order.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a loyalty
it's
program.
It. It's cheaper than if you bought it without that code, which people don't get.
Right. Oh, and for your first time, we will also throw in a free CBD wipe.
Yeah. CBD wipes, Elixicure. You can actually use code UNPOPS at checkout to buy that. Elixicure.com.
I would definitely need something like that to calm me down if I was the driver of the PT Cruiser in this situation.
Yeah, and Have we even mentioned that the guy who was murdered in this was the owner of the company that makes Hobgoblin grapes? I feel like we went to great detail to mention Hobgoblin grapes and didn't mention that the guy who was murdered here
was like the owner all of this farms.
Like what happened is this guy, the owner of Hobgoblin grapes, was driving down some fucking dusty Northern California road, and there was another car in front of him, and then a third car shows up and shoots the owner of Hobgoblin grapes, and Hobgoblin grapes guy, his car keeps going and runs into the witness car. Who had pulled over on the side of the road for some reason.
I believe they mentioned that he got ran off the road because the two cars were driving down this two-lane highway, so each way next to each other, and then the passenger reached out and was shooting at the driver, so he had to swerve onto the shoulder.
But then the car of the guy who got killed ends up hitting his car.
Correct. Rolls forward after he gets shot.
Right. And then the car where the shooters were, someone gets out of that car, walks up to the witness, tries to shoot him, and the gun doesn't go off. And then the witness pulls his sweater over his head.
It's a good thing that it wasn't like July and he was wearing a sweater.
Yes. Yes. That's because
it's still been chilly like April.
Yeah. You pull a t-shirt over the head. That's nothing.
Yeah.
You can get out of that.
Really restrictive.
Yeah.
But that also means so Dulcich, the 84-year-old guy, was in an SUV, which is a pimp move, by the way.
Or a truck.
But that means that the passenger already as a short person has to look up at people, but now from his Kia Rio shooting up into an SUV.
And there's going to be a sense of longing being in a Kia Rio and then seeing someone in an SUV next to you. It's like, why am I still in a Kia Rio?
So maybe it was just road rage.
Jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
That guy has an SUV and I'm in a Kia Rio.
So part of this, it makes no sense to me then, is why try to kill the guy in the PT Cruiser? Why don't you go up and dap him like, bro, I get it. Small car owner to small car owner.
Right.
Like, we see each other.
He was taking up too much space on the road. Surely you understand. The
SUV, yeah, right.
I had to kill him.
Yeah, he had to go.
Yeah, I get it. I get why you try to kill the witness. But how do you lose the fight after trying to kill the witness? Like, you have one job.
Yeah.
Which is kill a guy driving. What was the witness driving? Probably like a
kid. No, he was one driving the PT Cruiser.
Okay, you got to kill a guy in a PT Cruiser?
Are we on a different story now?
Well, there's so many cars involved.
There's three to be exact.
Okay, name all three.
Just a general SUV. Right. I'm going to suggest a Suburban.
PT Cruiser.
Kia Rio.
Okay. So you're in a PT, like you just had
to. Yes, you've smoked pot and drank some beer. I've been drinking beer. Like, we are three stooging this podcast. I don't think it's that hard, but I feel somehow we made it very difficult on ourselves.
I'm just saying your one job is kill the guy driving a PT Cruiser. And somehow you as a professional killer, fuck that up. Mm-hmm. That is comedy. That is a movie. I want to know what, he went to the police. Like in a movie, the driver of the PT Cruiser would not have gone to police.
Right.
Because someone would have been like, no, you can't go to the police.
So Clint Eastwood is definitely the Hobgoblin guy, Jackoff, right? Old and shuffly in 84.
Yeah, I could see
There's
that.
No one else who can
play. He's
Michael Douglas, too young. Kirk Douglas, way too old.
No, Clint Eastwood is the witness who the guy tried to shoot. And then Clint, old and out of combat shape, pulls the only move he knows to pull, which is snatch the guy's sweater over his head.
But then he shuffles off.
And then he shuffles off and the guy catches up. But Clint is wily enough to know that you just need to be fast enough to position yourself.
To hide behind a bush and maybe...
Yeah.
The guy who shot him was like, oh my God, where did he go? There's two bushes out here and then just blank farmland.
Yeah.
I don't know where he could be.
Or he's running after you, getting tired. And you eventually just turn around, wait for him to get close enough to you, and you punch him.
So what if the guy overshoots the bush and runs towards a house or whatever, thinking that that's where Clint went? And then Clint's just standing behind the bush and he takes a moment to light a cigarette and be like, what a stupid fucking asshole, because he still cusses.
Then Clint chases him.
All of a sudden, he turns back and
turns into a pursuit. Yeah.
Okay. Wait, was he in True Grit or is that
John
Wayne?
No, that was John Wayne.
Well, he should have been in True Grit, and I stand by that.
It was John Wayne, and then with the fucking beard, he's got a blog.
Santa Claus.
I know Jeff Bridges.
Ah.
And Haley Steinfeld.
God, everyone does have a podcast.
What?
Should get him on the network.
We should. Yeah. So what happened next?
Oh, that's it.
What? Oh, that's the end of the story?
That's the end. Oh, it's good. Still a mystery. Still a murder mystery. So if you guys know, add us.
Yeah, I feel like this is possibly a cartel thing. Because
I thought you were going to say Kardashian, but it could be either.
Because with all of the restrictions we're putting on at the border and all of the tariffs we're putting in place, it's not just making business harder for regular business people. It's making business harder for criminal business people, too. And sometimes business people with criminal leanings enter into legitimate businesses. Because the trigger man, the shooter, was eventually found dead also. Which, if you've pulled off a crime like this and someone gets identified and you're like, a cartel,
but
you're going to kill the person who's been identified.
Right. But also, is that coincidence? Because if he was a gang member, I mean, it could just be him living on the streets.
Yeah. I feel like this grape thing is like, we're going to find out it's related to the grape growing business.
Yeah.
Like,
it's still so fresh. It's just, I mean, it's been a year and a half since the first murder.
And then
almost a year, not quite a year, since the supposed killer
and
got
like,
murdered.
If it's just like a financial dispute, like witnesses don't get murdered. And like the guy who is being blamed for pulling the trigger getting murdered points to it being an organized crime.
Well, with Perez being so young, so Dulcich and son, it could, I bet it's one of his grandsons.
That could be
wanted
too.
The money, and he probably is, you know, hangs out with the riffraff of Delano and happened to know this gang member and knew he did shady stuff.
That could be also.
Hey, I'll pay you $2,000, which wouldn't be a lot to the Dulcich grandson, but would be a lot to the street guy who, you know, is doing whatever to make ends meet.
Yeah. But then you also
solve this. Do we have a
but then you have to dinger? You have to go kill the guy who you asked to kill.
Correct. Your so that was like, the grandson
in that case,
who did it.
You could have
grandson
just
killed him.
Killed the grandfather yourself. Cut out the middle.
No, that's too messy.
There's only one way we're going to solve this. We need to kill someone.
We need the killer to come forward.
Or we need to kill someone and see how it goes and see how that lines up to the facts in this case.
You know who would have been driving that PT Cruiser?
Who?
The same guy who's going to tenderize our pork tenderloins.
Hell yeah.
Chet Wild.
Chet Wild. Will you please hammer some pork tenderloins for us?
He would so be the guy that's like, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to pull this sweater over someone's head. No one else under the age of 65 would think to do that.
It's a smart move.
I don't know.
I'm going to pull your sweater over your head.
Are you going to bleep that out?
No. Chet has heard me do my Chet Wild impersonation all the time. And yeah, I just, I don't know. I'm interested to see where this story goes. There's a Netflix documentary. What's it called? It's about all of the various abuses in the food industry. God damn it. And there's an episode about avocados. And the avocado episode reminded me of this, where like tariffs and immigration restrictions and all of these different things Trump has done have made it harder to just get things in the country. And a lot of cartels that are losing cocaine money because getting cocaine across the border is harder are like leaning on avocado producers and like extorting money out of them. And if they don't give them that money, they fucking kill them.
What if you cut open a teddy bear coming across the border? Just a bunch of hobgoblin grapes.
Fucking hobgoblin grapes. Hell yeah. I'd eat them is what I would do.
You want to rinse them first. But
like Northern California, I don't doubt that there's some cartel influence in Northern California. It's a big drug growing area, like especially weed. Like there's no doubt that cartels are active in that area. Like could be something like that.
Could be. We don't know.
El Chapo killed this guy.
No, actually, I believe during this time, El Chapo was somewhere in the woods where only Sean Penn, of all people, could go and interview him for Vanity Fair.
Sean Penn and that hot actress from Bolivia or wherever she was from. Colombia, probably. Because I think that's where I'm like,
I'm sure there was a female go-between that linked up Sean Penn and El Chapo, but...
Yeah, like I'm getting into accidentally racist territory here. It's fine. So, yeah, if you know anything about who killed this grape farmer, why are you being such an asshole and not telling us?
We need to know as podcasters.
I feel like we could probably solve this case, but it would get us murdered because there's something bigger. Like it wasn't a robbery. They didn't rob the guy. They just murdered him.
Right.
Which I guess the first thing you do is look at who's taking that business over next. Like you said, kids or grandkids. But after that,
definitely grandkid.
Was someone leaning on him for protection money?
Then were you tailing him? Did you know who he was? Was it spur of the moment? Maybe going to follow him now, not follow him to his house to rob him because you didn't even let him get to his house.
No.
So probably easily overpower him. Yeah. So many questions.
It's interesting though. Thank you for tweeting it, lady.
Is that Katie Chironis? The original author?
At K Chironis. Thanks for tweeting this. It was like, it was a lot of deep dive research on her part to go from look at these hobgoblin grapes to this whole thing's happening.
It was Brian Powers who let us know about Katie Chironis's tweet. So thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. So Katie is the one who refused to be on the podcast.
She said she was going to Vegas and she declined quickly, but also was very pleasant about turning us down.
Thank you so much, Katie.
I mean, we were obviously able to nail this without her.
Yeah, well, I think we solved it without her, which is...
giving a million different possibilities.
Yeah, and like, it's... like, we're the solvers. She's the finder. She brought it to us. We did our job from there.
Correct.
Thank you, Katie, for letting us help you solve this crime.
Still unsolved.
I mean, is it? I feel like we've landed on some pretty solid conclusions, and if law enforcement wants...
Our help,
or to take our advice or our guidance, they will,
right?
Or they won't. But I feel like in this room, we've got this figured out. It's a organized crime thing. Is that where we landed?
I say grandson.
Okay, yeah, one of those. But that's narrowing it down to two options.
So three,
or Clint Eastwood, or aliens. Always aliens are a possibility.
Right.
I know you don't like aliens.
Space.
Gross. So it's probably aliens and they're programming you to come do this podcast and say it's something else.
Possibly.
Good times. Should we get out of here?
100%.
No, this was a good episode. Why are you being this way?
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm in sixth grade and I'm about to break up with you. I will say I get messages every once in a while. From people, and I love them. I love all the messages I get that are kind. The ones that are not kind, I could do without.
Yeah, they can fuck off.
I'm just going to put that out there. I got one from Maddie the other day that said, hi, so I listen to Pretty Scary a lot, like re-listening to old episodes, and I'm listening to the Christmas episode, which is almost Thanksgiving. Will it be Thanksgiving when you release this?
Yes.
Or the day before? Is it a Thanksgiving drive?
It'll be the week after. I'm holding a bunch of stuff for the week after.
And I'm listening to the Christmas episode and drinking. And when you said, if you're drinking and listening, and I hope that you are, and I stand by that. Cheers. Sure. So she goes, I cheers my phone. I just needed to tell someone that that was something that I did, which I love. The other one is we're going to give, although it's now past, Leah K a happy birthday shout out. She got irate with you on Twitter, which would be just yet another Twitter beef for you.
She got irate with me?
Because she could not find the Unpops episode that you did with Caitlin about feisty old people, feisty old women.
It was literally the most
younger men that they love who drive PT Cruisers.
It was the most recent episode on Patreon.
Well, she had trouble downloading it and you should have helped. And since you didn't, I offered something from your Mariah Carey record collection. And she's like, no, that's, she was actually very sweet about it. I ramped up under the guise of pretty scary.
I like that you put a hand over your face when you said guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that whole exchange. I was trying to help. Like there was a link.
Well, she was still lost. Listen, it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Leah.
There was a link to
that. I mean, that's the least we could do.
Episode in that thread. You just click it and you're there.
I don't know. Don't talk down to me or Leah, okay?
Well, Leah's making me feel bad. I'm sorry. But
I think I'm making you feel bad by proxy.
Thank you for listening, Leah. Should we get out of here is the question.
Yeah.
What do we have to plug before we get out of here?
The Midwest comedy tour that we may or may not have in May, but that we talk about every episode.
It'll happen.
I hope so.
It's only November. That's 6 months from now.
Yeah. Well, I think we wanted to start planning in September.
That's been the whole problem with all the tours we've done is we don't start plugging them early enough. So come see us tell jokes in
TBD,
the spring.
Location,
well,
TBD.
We have a show in Chicago in May, but I'll be planning other stuff before and after that.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do to help.
So Bolo, be on the lookout for tour dates. Mm-hmm. Carrie, what do you have to plug?
Oh, nothing. Although I'm not really on social media anymore. I should be because I do find it fun. Because I don't do it that often. I feel like my best content comes at the beginning of a happy hour when I'm like, I have that like first drink, like, this was nice. I'm like starting to relax for my day. But before drink three, where I'm like contemplating my career path and deciding whether I want a cigarette or not.
Sure.
you can find me, Carrie Martin 722 on Twitter. You can find me, Carrie Martin 22 on Instagram, or you can find me as an original cast member on the Unpops Real World.
Original cast member, not an alternate.
Yeah.
Like original.
I might not bring a lot of drama, but I will do a lot of talking in the confessional behind everybody's back.
That sounds like drama to me.
Okay.
All right. Let's get out of here. Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Caitlin, say goodbye. Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Why are we always so surprised?
God. Goodbye, everybody. We love you.